So I think if we're honest with ourselves, and I hope we are here this morning, we'll admit we all have times when this life can kind of bring us low, can kind of beat us down a bit, whether it's from that slow, insidious grind of our daily grind that can just pulverize us into pieces on the ground, or whether it's from the very shock and awe of the devastating realities that this world can thrust upon us, right? Minding your own business, and all of a sudden, some devastating realities come your way. Am I talking to the right people here today? Yeah. The realities of broken and strained relationships. That's tough. That can bring you low. People are difficult. You know, the problem with relationships are the people. It's us, right? Oh, trying to figure that out and reconcile all those things. And then, you know, how about the suffocating stress of financial difficulty? Where's that next check coming from? How's this bill going to get paid? That can suffocate you and bring you low. And then probably the most devastating reality that can be thrust upon a person is trying to reconcile the loss of a loved one, right? Just that aloneness, right? That loneliness, that heartache, that you're going to have to figure out how to pick up the pieces or have someone else pick up your pieces and go forward and carry on in this thing that they call the new reality without the ones that you love. That can bring you low if you let it, amen? Again, I hope I'm talking to the right people. Whether it's a slow fade or a thrusting hammer, you can feel kind of beat down sometimes, if you're like me at least, right? We can be beat down physically, we feel, emotionally, and more importantly, spiritually. We can be laid low. Have you ever been so stressed out and so low that you just physically, God's just like, why don't you just get sick so you can start rebuilding back to square one. If you're like me, sometimes I feel like that sports team that's in a rebuilding year, that seems to be my year. I hope you guys can resonate with that, right? The reality of it is the Christian life is a life that's lived in constant building and rebuilding and being knocked down and being rebuilt and built upon this holy faith that we've been given. Did you know that? It's normal. I like the way the great Apostle Paul put it. He's talking to the believers there in Philippi, and he's saying, listen, I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. I was graphically, personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, pretty mature guy, pretty spiritually advanced guy. He says to them in Philippians chapter 3, I have not obtained perfect maturity. I haven't arrived yet. So what does he say to do? Press on and press up. I'm going to keep building. I'm just going to keep swimming. Right? That's the Apostle Paul. He's going to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, even when we feel low. It is a building and a rebuilding. So if you are here today and you feel like you're not even at square one, that life has kind of beat you down, I want to encourage you today. As the Word of God always does, I want to show you a few verses in an eclectic little book down in the back of your Bible, Jude. We're going to go over about 6 verses because Jude has some very practical advice on how to rebuild and build yourself back up to square one in this holy faith that we have in hopes that we can rebuild. So I want to read to you Jude 20 through 25. It says this, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And in verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Build yourself back up. And if you caught it there, Jude is really the key to these verses. Jude's encouraging us to focus. In the immortal words of Mr. Miyagi in Karate Kid, focus, focus, Daniel-san. And I'm Daniel, so that works, right? Focus, Daniel-san. He wants us to look. He wants us to focus first inwardly to ourselves, and then he wants us to look and focus outwardly to others. And then finally, he wants us to focus and look ultimately upward. So those are our 3 points. If we want to be rebuilt up into this holy faith that's been given to us, we're going to first look inwardly. And you find those in the first 2 verses. Looking inward to ourselves. It starts brilliantly. You, beloved. Oh, those are great words. First, you. Man, in today's culture, that weighs light on the scale of personal responsibility. Jude is saying, you have to determine that you have agency and that you, although you're not the power source, it starts with you changing your attitude and your perspective. To determine, it starts with us. Amen? To say the simple words, Lord, is it me that needs to change? Right? It starts with you. And it is you. And it is I. That oftentimes need to change our attitudes and our perspectives for the better. For God to be able to feel comfortable. For his spirit to be in harmony with your spirit to change you. Did you know that? It starts with you. It's like when you're in the plane, right? What does the stewardess say? When the oxygen comes down, what do you do first? Put on yourself so you can be useful to other people. Breathe. It's you. And I like what he says here. It's up to you to change your mind so God can change you. But he calls you beloved. And this is Jude. He's just reminding us all, this book is for believers. Those who are loved by God. And I want to encourage you today. If you remember nothing else, believer, today, God loves you. You are in the beloved, in this brotherhood, and accepted in him. You've been given every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you've been given every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, in the heavenly things, heavenly places. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he just said, you are accepted in the beloved. Did you know that? You are accepted in the Godhead, in each other. Listen, you're loved. He's saying, you, take responsibility for your spiritual lives and remember that you're loved. What a position to be in, amen? And he goes on to say, you should be building yourselves up in this holy faith. It's our responsibility again. But if this has the idea of building, this building word is to build upon which is already built. It has the idea of building upon a foundation. Jude 3, if you just take a peek at that, it'll help us. It says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about your common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was given once and for all. hey, this faith right here, the faith, that's the thing we call Christianity. Listen, what Jude's saying is this is not manufactured. This isn't fabricated stuff. This is not added to or been subtracted to over time like others I could name. This is Christianity. Authentic Christianity is one body of facts that was consistently delivered by the authoritative representatives, the apostle, once and for all from them to us in Scripture. Amen? And he's saying, build yourself up on this foundation that they laid for you, the Word of God. We are to use it. We are to grow in it. As Peter would say, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you, beloved, build yourself up in the faith. And now we're going to get to it. As you look inwardly and we're trying to build ourselves up in this holy faith, he wants us to do three things. The first one, you might have caught it here. It says praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what a phrase that is in the Greek. It actually is more perfectly rendered, worshiping by the means of God's Spirit. That's what it actually says. It says, yes, communicate with God. That's a communicative word, but the root word is worship. It means that we are to, first of all, if you want to build yourself back up to square one, you're feeling a little bit like you're under, beat down, ground up. You want to get back to square one, you better look to yourself, take responsibility, and start worshiping, is literally what it says. Start testifying back to God what he testifies to be as to his character and nature. Amen? We got to worship by means of the Spirit. It has to do with a relationship. God's Spirit connecting with your regenerated spirit to tell him back what he testifies to be. You guys may remember John chapter 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan, talking to Jesus Christ himself, and they start talking about worship. And Jesus tells us what worship is there. You may remember the story. The Samaritan woman at the well senses something different about Jesus. Imagine that, right? She thinks he's a prophet because he's and knows he's a Jew and says, sir, my people, the Samaritans, we say we need to worship up on a mountain. Remember? And she says, but your people, the Jews, you guys say that you were supposed to worship in a temple in Jerusalem. And do you remember what Jesus' answer was? It's awesome. He says, the time is coming and now is when the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. You must worship him in spirit. So really, worship transcends a place. It's done with a relationship with God's spirit in your spirit to God. Amen? You could put it this way with Jesus' words. Worship needs to be truly spiritual. So we worship by the power of God's Spirit in us. That's what allows us to do this. Amen? And I'll just tell you this. If you want to get out of the moly grubs, you want to get off the mat, you want to get life's boot off your neck, you might want to think about worshiping. It's a novel concept. Because we turn inside because we know we have to change. We need something. And we need him. And so we start worshiping by way of the Spirit. Man, if you want to get off the bottom and you want to get back to square one, we should worship by means of the Spirit. Amen? It also says we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Just stay under the shower. Because as a believer, I think I already presented this. You have the love of God in your position. You are loved and highly graced and blessed. You're accepted in the beloved. He's just saying, keep yourself in the love of God. Stay under the shower. Your position in Jesus Christ and God the Father allows you to be loved. And as all Jude is saying is, just stay under the shower. Just live like you already are. See, we move away and then we're like, well, why doesn't God love me? Would you just get right back where you belong? Start living like you are positioned spiritually, is what Jude is saying. If you look at Jude 3, actually Jude 1, maybe I'll explain it to you by Jude 1. Maybe. There it is. Jude says this, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Believer, you have been called. You have been literally called out of the mass of humanities to be loved. The called out ones. You've been called into love in God the Father and Jesus Christ. You cannot remove that. It's done. Listen, when we start realizing what we have in our spiritual position, it might change our perspective. We have been called into love positionally, and we are kept for Jesus Christ. Perhaps the only way that we could be keeping under the shower is that he's keeping us, and nothing can separate us from that. Nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing can separate you from the love of God, because he's called you, he's loved you in God, and he's keeping you for something. And Jude is just saying, yes, start with worshiping. Two, keep yourself under the shower. You've got it all, just stay under it. I can't believe how many times I'm so disappointed in myself and I just get away from realizing who I am in Jesus Christ and just accepting it and living in it. It's so freeing. And Jude's saying, remember that. And then finally, he says, you should be waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting. What's waiting have to do with? The future. He's speaking of hope. Hope is a gem. It gets you out of your grind. Hope removes you from the prisons of life that are beating you down and brings you far into a secure future. It's a favorable and confident expectation of the unseen future. That's what hope is. And he's just saying, wait for the mercy of the Lord. It's coming. And maybe you could remember this as well as an encouraging little reminder. Jesus is coming back. Amen? He's coming back. So when we get a barrage and we're feeling beat down, we want to start building ourselves up again. Start looking to the future a little bit of what we have. Jesus is coming back. And one thing he's going to do is he's going to show his mercy when he comes back to us. Right? And that mercy, you can see it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. It says he's going to save us from this evil age. This is an evil age. Have you noticed it? Man. One of the reasons Jude says, hope, wait for the mercy of the Lord, is because he's not going to tarry too much longer, I don't think. It could be today. No one knows the day and the hour. But one of the things he's going to do is he's going to snatch us believers, out of this evil time that we live in. Look around. You want to get back to square one, you might want to lift yourself up. According to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that is a happy hope. When you hope in Jesus Christ's return, that it's our blessed hope. Literally, it's our happy hope. You want to be happy? You want to start building yourself back up? Look to your certain future that he's coming back for us. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, you might remember that. Waiting for him again says this will purify you. You start hoping for Jesus to come back. It will make you happy and it'll purify you from this evil age. Someday he's going to save us from that, literally, but even in our minds today. Amen? So Jude's saying this. First of all, you, Beloved, you build yourself up in the faith that's been given to you from the foundation that the apostles laid. First, by worshiping. Second, by keeping yourselves under the shower of the love of God. And thirdly, hoping for his return when he's going to show us mercy. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us, the first point Jude says, focus. Look inward. Look at yourself and take responsibility for yourselves. As a part-time pastor, I just can't tell you how frustrating it is sometimes just to get people to realize you have everything you need to fix yourself. It's not you. It's not me. It's God, right? Just get yourself in the position. Build yourself up from this foundation here. Amen? But then Jude turns and he says, hey, listen, I want you to look outward. Yes, it starts here. Get yourself, get your attitudes and your perspectives a little better so God can work with you and do something with you. But ultimately, he wants you to look to others. Let's read it. It says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And to others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupted flesh. The reality of it is this, guys. Authentic Christianity can't stay within. Listen, we look inward, point one, not in a narcissistic, independent way, but in a self-responsible way so that we can be in a good position. But it can't stay there. This is Christianity. This should be about giving, about serving, about loving others over self. Amen? It can't stay inside, of course. So Jude's saying, hey, look outward. Look outward. Maybe we should remember how Matthew and Mark and all the gospel narratives describe our Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. What did they say about him in Mark chapter 10? They said, this one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he came down here to be served, to be treated like a king. No, it said the Son of Man came what? Not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Amen? He's the same one that said this, it's better to give than to receive. God, we need to sometimes, if you want to build yourself up, we also have to realize it can't stick inside. It's got to go outward. I found this great truth in life. Maybe you figured out, even unsaved people figure this out. If you take your attention off yourself and your own problems and your own beatdowns, something amazing kind of happens, right? You look to other people, you forget about your own stuff. You get caught up in serving. You get caught up in giving. You get caught up in loving other people. And the attention gets off little old me. And the pity party can go away. Amen? It's one of the most thankful things I am for my profession, that I'm a healthcare provider. And I always say this to people I train, keep the care in healthcare. Because if you do, it's not about you. It's about service and serving other people. And I didn't even know it when I got into it. But it's changed me for the better, from being so selfish to being able to walk in 35, 40 times a day and just go, how are you? And inside, my life is busy and stressful, and it just makes my life go like that. My days go by so good, amen? We should be looking to find ways to express the beauty of the life of Christ that we have inside of us to other people, right? That's the key. How do we do that? Well, he gives us two things that we need to do to other people. Just two things. He says, listen, be merciful to those who doubt. As we look outward, look for the wavering ones, quite literally in the Greek. The ones that are doubting, they're wavering. Here's what I know about life. If you're paying attention, it can cause you to buckle and to waver. This is this word doubt. It's to be shaken and you're kind of wavering around. It's like this tree that's blowing in the wind. This is my faith. It's flexing back and forth, right? He's saying, when you see those people, show them mercy. Show them mercy. Show them the very life of Jesus Christ that you have inside of you to them. Because here's what I know about Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, he's described as one who, when he looks at somebody who's about ready to go under, one that's just about ready to break off, one that's just about ready to be extinguished, he gives them mercy and he gives them compassion, because he's described there as a God who will not break a bent reed and will not snuff out a smoldering flax. So when you see those flaxes flickering and you see the reeds bent over like on the riverside, almost ready to go, don't snap them off. Don't blow them out. Just give them mercy, compassion. What Jude is saying here is, when you look at other people that are wavering, would you please be God's sympathizers? As hard as that is sometimes, trust me, it's not lost on me. When you see people after people just wavering and you just take a deep breath and give them mercy, the same mercy and compassion that you were giving, show them that too, and amazing thing will happen. You'll start to get rebuilt in this holy faith. Amen? Be God's sympathizers, but it's not the only thing he wants us to do. He says also, maybe be God's firefighters. Isn't that what it says? Save others by snatching them out of the fire. God's sympathizers, yep. Show the doubt. Show the doubters mercy. But we should think about snatching people out of the fire. And this is a letter to believers. This isn't talking about eternal damnation. It's just saying, when you look at people that are getting close to doing themselves harm, people that are getting close to getting a visit outside back of the woodshed by Lord himself. You ever have woodshed moments? Because the reality of it is, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, he chastens whom he loves. Believers, you go the wrong way long enough, he's going to take you outside the woodshed. That's what he's going to do. And I know we all know that because we've all probably got beatings before. And all Jude's saying is, listen, when you look to people that are getting close to the fire, be God's firefighter. Just pull them. Say, hey, listen, there's a better way. Be careful. Be careful. Dealing with the doubt is the first thing he wants us to do. And maybe we should go back for a second and just look at the contrast between doubting and faith. If we are to show them mercy, we've got to understand we're all doubtful, right? We all can play the Thomas. Remember Thomas? Remember doubting Thomas? The resurrection Lord, he showed himself to all the some of the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. So they told Thomas, said, Thomas, the Lord lives. And he said something that we all say every day. Show me. Right? He said, until I put my fingers in his nail print hands and I able to feel the side that's been split open, I will not believe. He says what we said every day. What do you say? I'll believe it when I see it. Right? You ever doubted like that? And then I think what Jude's saying is, listen, maybe just show mercy on them and show them there's a better way. There's faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you cannot see. That is not, I'll believe it when I see it. That is seeing to believe it. Amen? It's believing to see it, sorry. Right? But the second thing is, let's snatch him out of the fire. Let's show him a better way. And then finally, in our final point here today, we look inward, we look outward, and now we're going to look upward in the last two verses. We're going to look upward to our God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. What a doxology. That's an awesome run of scriptures. And ultimately, if you want to be rebuilt, it starts by looking upward to where our help comes from. Amen? Ultimately, we look inward, yes. We look outward, yes. But ultimately, our help comes from above. Amen? That's where it comes from. And I like what he says here. He is able. Oh, what a word that is. Able. So he definitely has the potential to help you. Look at Jeremiah 32:17. This is a great verse. O Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Newsflash, the God we serve is an all-powerful God. He's the God that made all this stuff and made you and I. He is able. The question is, are you letting him? So you have all this potential power. He's saying he's definitely able. He'll keep you. He'll keep you from stumbling, stubbing your toe and falling over. And he's going to definitely be able to present you blameless and spotless in your great joy in the final days. Now listen, the question again is, are we letting him? Because he's definitely able. He's an all-powerful God. Are we letting him? I like how he's going to present us spotless. Do you not? That someday, it says he's going to present us blameless and spotless. In shame, or we're going to be like, oh, thank you, but I don't deserve this. It says we're going to have great joy in that moment when he presents us. There's going to be an emotional response to the believer's heart when God the Father takes us, moves us, and presents us in perfection to his Son, Jesus Christ, of whom has won a people. Amen? And I can't think of a better way to look upward than sharing and communing with our Lord Jesus Christ as we go to the table. So as we do, before you get up, something to think about. If you've been beat down, if you're downtrodden, if you're not even at square one, to look to yourself. Look to yourself. Gather yourself up, right? First, remembering you're loved. Worship. Keep yourself in the love of God and have some hope. And then finally, when you get yourself in that zero, then you can look outside. Treat the doubtful with mercy. Snatch them out of the fire of trouble. And finally, and most importantly, and ultimately, if we want to grow, we want to be built back up, we got to look up to our Father.